Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Should be noted, Sportico is reporting that Cavs owner Dan Gilbert is looking to sell a stake in his NBA franchise, retaining Allen and Company to explore selling up to 15% of the team. This stuff's always interesting to me, like the idea that Dan bought the Cavs for $375 million back in 2005. And if he sold, the last valuation by Forbes for the Cavs was just under $4 billion. Meaning if he just sold 10%, he's going to clear the original $375 million investment. If he sells for 15, he's going to do a little bit better than even that.
This is why I always tell people never to feel bad for billionaires and for owners of sports teams when they're crying poor in certain aspects of their financials.
So this could be a couple things. One, it could just be wants to get that $400 million. That could be part of this. Two, it could be to help offset the cost of paying for the WNBA franchise, which the Cavs have been approved for. Which Cleveland has been approved for. And three, Dan is 63, and he has had some health problems. I think the intention is to keep the club within the family if anything were to happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one way of taking care of this would be he would be able to maybe offset some of the estate tax with the Cavaliers, which could help the family down the line. So maybe some just forward planning. In the article, in fairness, it didn't say why he's looking to sell up to 15%.
Did it give a hint as to who the 15% is going to go to, or is that the type of thing we don't know yet?
I don't think it's been decided yet, because it said that 15% could be divvied up by multiple people. So,
which we've seen a lot within a lot of the new more people that are entering the owner space is actually these little groups that collectively come in, and then like it's like LeBron and the group with Boston, for instance. Like that's a whole group of people.
I just think it'd be interesting. So here's something that I don't know and that I haven't really necessarily reached out to find out about. I do wonder, 15% is not insignificant. It's also not 40%, right? So I do wonder, Dan loves to invest in his ball club. I do wonder if naturally this would end up maybe changing that, because he's been one of the few NBA owners that's been willing to go into the tax the way he has. I wonder if having partners now might change that.
Or he could just be like, the partners don't want to pay the $80 million for Ty Jerome. Let's put this on them now.
Oh, I don't think Dan would do that.
I don't think so either.
Seems like a pretty straight ahead guy.
I don't think so either.
As billionaires go, I should add that.
This doesn't feel to me like when Cuban got rid of his share of the, or part of his share of the Mavericks. And then they're like, but you'll still have controlling interest and all this other stuff. And then it turns out he had none of that.
Still the wildest thing about that is when the Lakers were bought and Jeannie Buss retained her position as governor, it was put in a contract. What's wild is that Mark Cuban didn't have that put into a contract.
Yeah, but I think so. I've heard some people around LA that are suggesting and have suggested since that LA thing that Jeannie Buss is she's going to have the title of that, but she's going to have about as much say as Mark Cuban ended up having when it was all said and done. It's going to be more of a figurehead thing than it's going to be an actual, hey, let's make basketball decisions thing.
We like Jeannie Buss, so that's okay. So again, quick hits coming up in about 15 minutes. That's the latest news and sports here, but we have successfully. We're going to successfully bring to air, I think for the first time, Frank Schwab on Yahoo Sports. I'm going to continue to go unflattering comparison for Shador Sanders.
Suggest that Shador Sanders isn't going to be the locked-in starter by week one and probably for the next decade. A lot of these Shador backers just lose their minds. How dare you? A very weird phenomenon. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't ready for it. It reminds me in some ways a completely different example, but in some ways very similar, of Tim Tebow, where people just lose their minds about Tim Tebow. There's no rational conversation about Tim Tebow. And it's the same way with Shadur. Like, there's posts that go up on social media of him throwing a pass that literally any NFL quarterback can throw. And the caption will just be like, how could the NFL possibly have let this guy slip to the fifth round? He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, what are we doing here? But yes, Shadur is an oddball case of a fifth round pick who is the most talked about rookie in the NFL right now.
All right, what do you think of that comparison?
It definitely is an oddball case. There's no denying that. I think the Tebow thing is a little much. I see the correlation that he's trying to make. Tebow, by the way, for as much as people want to say about Tebow as a pro quarterback, Tebow was one of the, if not the best college quarterback I ever watched play from a success standpoint and from a an accomplishment standpoint. I mean, there's not more of a decorated college quarterback that you'll find than Tim Tebow. And he came in with a lot of praise and a lot of fanfare, and he couldn't back it up. And
ironically, he should have been a fifth round pick too.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. In many ways, like he didn't have it. He didn't have the arm. He didn't have the talent in the slightest bit. Like, there was a lot attached to Tim Tebow, but the hype was real and the hype was there. I think the difference here, at least in my opinion, is that for as many Tebow lovers as there weren't people lining up to watch Tim Tebow just fall on his face. I think people got annoyed with the Tebow conversation the way people get annoyed with the Shadur conversation in many ways. But Shadur and that speeding ticket last week taught me that there are just as many detractors, if not more, and people lined up to go ahead and laugh at him if he fails than people that are lined up to say, congratulations, good job.
I will say, I do think there were plenty of people that wanted Tim Tebow to fail because they didn't buy into the holier-than-thou bit. I think they did.
Well, once he started playing like baseball in the minor leagues and stuff like that, I mean, it's no one took him serious as an NFL player.
I mean, the Broncos did. They drafted him with the 25th pick.
I mean, but it really never looked like, oh, he's our franchise quarterback. He's the guy that we're going to put everything around.
The first year?
He got to a playoff game. Yes, he did. But it was late in the season that he got put in. It wasn't as if he started the season and got the whole runway to go ahead and do that with.
I think where it's different is Tim had a lot of the noise and a lot of the how dare you came from the Christian community, who might have been coming to football or more of a casual fan that was just a fan of Tim Tebow. And so I think, whereas with Shadur, what's wild about Shadur is there isn't really that religious backing. It's just a bunch of people on social media who follow him on social media. I mean, is it wrong to say he's the first?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Influencer quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, I think that's wrong. That suggests that he doesn't influence or quarterback. Give me your description of influencer quarterback.
I mean, it's somebody who is popular in a huge part because of their social media footprint, which...
See, but he's different, though. And so, like, Tebow came from a background that didn't involve football in the slightest bit. Like, the part of Shadur that's different is that part of why people love Shadur, some people love Shadur, is because they love Deion. And they loved everything that Deion was doing at Colorado. And the hype was attached to Deion at Colorado. And the Shadur hype, followed the Deion hype. Whereas with Tebow, I mean, that's him. It's been playing for Urban Meyer, yes. But that wasn't because Tebow's dad was anything of consequence.
Well, but how much of Shador's, how much of the unheralded fact that Shadur is a fifth-round pick and maybe the most talked-about player in this draft... I mean, even on draft night, what was the big gripe of like, hey, can you shut the hell up about Shadur and talk about Cam Ward for a second? How much of that is the fact that he is an influencer? And I don't mean it in a negative way, by the way. I'm not trying to infer a negative connotation, but I think that's where...
I think both worlds were ready to collide, and only one part of that is doing the heavy lifting right now, and that is the fact that he does have a large presence. Like, Paul Skeens has a very large Instagram presence, a lot to do with the fact that he is dating Livy Dunn, but he's got a large influencer following, and it's like, well, okay, but he's also a great baseball player. The two of those things met in the middle. If Paul Skeens sucked at baseball, he's still dating Livy Dunn, he'd have a lot of attention on himself.
Well, but I do think this is where, to me, it becomes really super interesting, because the first influencer turned pro athlete where there was just a lot of hype, not just because of the athleticism, was Zion. I remember that kind of slow build. Obviously, I was in the Carolinas at the time. He was down in Spartanburg, And you could not. I mean, the hype was just wafting up. I mean,
people thought he was going to be the next LeBron MJ of that caliber.
Yeah, and then you found a buffet. But like, but I remember being like, oh, I wonder when this sport will get one. It's wild to me that you can't look at, if we talk about the most important position, yes, they're like, there are NFL quarterbacks with huge digital footprints. That's because it started with football. That meaning started with NFL football. Maybe Johnny Manziel 5 years later would have been the first guy. He wasn't. It was still very much an underground thing because we didn't have TikTok. We had, I don't want to say early Twitter, but that was really when Twitter started to spike and Facebook was still prominent. But I just think, like, of the social media era, Shador is the most fully formed digital influencer that also had success in college, as opposed to NFL quarterback that is an elite quarterback that also had social media influencing experience. I just think, I mean, that's fascinating. It's not a pro or a knock on the kid. I just think it's that this, because he's not going to be the last. No, is maybe, I mean, the bigger point.
None of these other, look at the Instagram follower accounts of all of these draft players for this last year. I mean, I looked at it previously. I might be off by a couple here and there. But Shador was like 2.6 million top ahead, and I think the next closest was like 250,000. Mm-hmm. Like, he had 10 times as many followers. And that's just, I mean, part of that is the idea that he did play quarterback, but the other part of that is, yeah, he built up a big brand, and he knew what he was doing, but it wouldn't have mattered. Like, Shador wouldn't be as popular as he is unless he played quarterback at Colorado and he didn't have the dad that he has.
Yeah, but I mean, it's he didn't play at Alabama.
If he tried to do it on his own, is what I'm suggesting. Like, when you say quarterback influencer, I think somebody that, if he never played quarterback, he would be as much of a Instagram follow as he currently is, or anywhere in the same stratosphere. And I don't think that's true.
Okay, but the influencer thing still is first, right?
No, quarterback thing is first. Why we know him is because of quarterback. We don't know him because of Instagram. We know him because of quarterback. So, like, when you say Instagram quarterback and you make that suggestion, I think you're implying that, like, we know him because of his TikToks and his dances and everything like that. No, we know him because he played quarterback for his dad, a Hall of Famer at Colorado, and is a really successful college quarterback.
I just think it's really interesting that people are, you know, they're, to credit what you said at the beginning of this, there are people that want to watch him fail because they don't want a quarterback influencer or influencer quarterback to succeed. And what they're missing is Shador should be. If I am Arch Manning, or if I am Drew Aller, or if I am any of these dudes, I'm paying attention to this and saying, yes, absolutely, if I go into the NFL and I succeed, I can make $400, $600, $1 billion. But I might be leaving money on the table. And so it's interesting that I think people want Shador to fail, in part because of the social influencer stuff. And I think the cat's out of the bag. I think a lot of these young kids are going to make so much more money. Like, dude, Vanessa watches this one YouTube influencer who's like she's like home renovator and gardening. And she's just walking around a flea market talking.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is this?
I watch all sorts
of
golf influencers. They do the same thing. Well, they don't even golf half the time. They're just talking. They're just hanging out.
There's nothing meaningful about it. It's just existing.
That's how people watch and take in a lot of content these days.
And so for me, it's like, okay, do something. Like, make me a bicycle clown. But I think, like, it's so funny. Like, there's part of what Frank said that I understand and maybe concur with. But I just think it's interesting that idea of people wanting them to fail, because it's like, you don't understand. It's open. Now the influencer things come into the NFL, and you're going to see, and not just NFL, I mean college too, and you're going to see the translation of that across the board. It was just a matter of time. It just happened to be Shador.
Well, and it's a golden parachute if it all doesn't work out, yep, too. You know, I mean, think about it. You know, back in the day, it used to be, if you're Brady Quinn and it didn't work out, then you ended up on a college football TV set. And that, if you didn't do that, then you were out of luck. You're selling insurance. But like, you had to have enough popularity to be able to land on that. And there's only a few select of those jobs. You build up your brand, you build up everything in college, and it can take you for a long time here.
Are Shador and Tim Tebow comparable the way Frank Schwab says that they are? And a move of significance from the Cleveland Browns today, what it says about the Browns, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.